there's a consciousness that this prayer must play a big part. You know, we hear a lot about it, and we've had little touches, little tastes of what happens as we pray, and yet I think we all long to know more. And what we're going to do this morning is trust the Lord to maybe remind us. I don't expect to share with you anything new. Don't be disappointed. I have no funny idea that I might be able to impart some new truth to you that you've never heard before. But you know, I've found that what most of us need is just to be reminded of what we already know, because we'll get so busy and so gung-ho in one area of our life, we'll forget about things that we have known very, very well at other times. So this is maybe to put together some of the things that you've gleaned and heard and have known of at different times, if we can just get them together this morning, in order that our prayer life be enriched, be strengthened, be more effective. Now, when you think of prayer, what do you think of? What is prayer to you? What's that?
Talking to God.
Okay, that is one part of it. Talking to God.
Listening.
All right, that's the other part. Letting God talk to us, and us hearing what He says. For so long, praying was talking to God, and it was me going every day, and me just talking and telling Him the problems I had, telling Him that I loved Him, and just telling Him how much I needed Him and how much I needed direction and guidance and all these things. But I did not realize that I jump off most of the time and take off, and I didn't give Him a chance to say a thing. So it was a big milestone for me when I realized that prayer is talking with God, not just to God. To Him, yes, but with Him. Now, do you know, we have already been talking with Him. We have, what I want to do is, many of you have seen the little prayer book, the prayer and Bible study guide. I don't know, some of you probably already have them. Maybe there are many of you that have never seen them, don't even know what I'm talking about. But there is this, it's called the 2959 plan, and of course most people wonder, what in the world is it called that for? Well, the idea was to encourage you to spend at least 29 minutes and 59 seconds, or at least give God 30 minutes of your day, at least. And through the years, I found that many times, although I might spend a lot of time in prayer, some way it never seemed quite complete. Maybe I would go in one morning and my heart would be just bursting with praise, and I would just thank the Lord and thank the Lord and thank the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, it was time to go and that was the end of it. Or maybe I'd go in and there was, all I had on my mind was just unburdening. And that's what I would do, and that would be the end of it. And yet there was never quite the satisfaction. And some years ago, I found this this prayer hand that has become a guide to me in my quiet time. And I would like to share that with you. And this same hand has been used in this this guide, the 2959. And what I found, that many of you probably already have a prayer guide, the way that, you know, a plan that you've already worked out that's very satisfying to you. And if you have, that's fine. This is in no way to tell you, well, drop that and this one's better. This is just another guide. But I would suggest, if you do not have a guide for the time that you use, the time that you spend with God, that you try this until you do develop your own. Now, this prayer hand, you will see soon that I'm... What we have done already is we have, in the book, it is called Adoration. You won't be able to see this. I'll just write it up there anyway. Adoration and Thanksgiving. Adoration being praise. You might want to just say praise, since we don't use the word adoration that often, but it is the word that's used in the book. And Thanksgiving. I don't know why you would ask a question like that.
By the thumb or not?
I can, the thumb. It's the little thumb. I can see why you would ask that question. For a long time, I had the feeling that the first thing I needed to do when I went to the Lord in the morning was to search my heart for any sin that might be there. And do you know what I found? I found that if I started there, I never seemed to rise above myself in my praying. You say, but God won't hear you if there's unconfessed sin. That's right. And if you know that there is anything standing between you and God, just take care of it and first thing. But if we need to keep our sin account up to date, take care of it when it comes along. That should be a prayer of yours, that you'll become so sensitive to the things in your life that are not pleasing to the Lord, that the minute that they transpire, you'll be made conscious of them, and you'll let Him forgive you then and cleanse you then and fill you that again and move on. So, if there's something you definitely know stand between you and God, then do take care of that first. But if not, I suggest that you start as we have done this morning, looking at Him first. You know, as you thought about God and who He is and what He is, didn't that mean a lot to you? It did to me. Think again about what I already know. I know He's Creator. But when I think about that this morning, He not only is Creator and all those big things, but He loves me. He has done specific things just for me. When I start my time, my quiet time, looking at Him, It strengthens my faith. It makes a difference when I come to my needs because I've seen what he can do. I've gotten a glimpse again. I've been reminded today. Well, that mighty God can certainly take care of these little things that I have concern, that I'm concerned with. So it strengthens my faith. But even more important than that, do you know, when you worship, when you praise, when you give adoration and thanksgiving to God, do you know what that does to him? We sang already this morning that we were created for his pleasure. Now, a lot of us, although we've never really said it, we live like he was created for our pleasure. And our thoughts of God is going to him to get what we need to make us happy. And for many of us, that's what our prayer life is. Going to God, getting from him what we need to make us happy. But the day that it dawned on me that Johnny Lord had the capacity to make the Lord God Almighty happy. That just kind of, you know, was overwhelming. But all that gave a whole new dimension to my prayer time, my communication. You know yourself, of all the things that are we could say about God, the one that, if, as you study it, when you realize all the implications of it, the thing that he is most desirous of to recognize him is Father. When we see him as Father, then that will include him being Lord and include him being Savior and all these other wonderful things that he is, but he is first and foremost a Father that produced children to give him pleasure. Now, when I consider that as the reason for me being created, then I go to looking for everything that I can do and be and incorporate in my life to give him pleasure, because then his purpose for my creation will be realized. And when you know yourself that when you do what you're supposed to do, you are satisfied. That's the way you are fulfilled too. So, when I finally got my focus off of God doing what I needed to make my life full and happy and meaningful, and I got myself out of focus and became focused in on giving him pleasure, then it's so special to start the day in praising him, because he says that gives him pleasure. It's suggested that in this plan, this guide for our prayer time, that it's good to be specific, just as we were this morning. Mention something physical, something material, somebody. Just be specific and thank him, as we already have. We have already done the first two things. on our prayer plan, our prayer hand, together. Now, after I've gazed on him, it makes that I'm very desirous to be clean and pure and holy, and all that I need to be and all that he wants me to be. So I say, Lord, would you show me anything in my life this morning that you're not pleased with? And then it's time for confession. Now, I tell you, I used to say, when I thought of confession of sin, I'd say, Lord, show me the sin in my life. But, you know, we have sin in such categories. If it's not some big bad act, then we feel justified. We feel all right. So I was so far out in my understanding of all the things I told you last night about how important it was just to be transparent and open before the Lord, until I started out sin. Well, that didn't do it. And then I finally got to the place where I could say, okay, Lord, anything you're not happy with, because me, I tell you, some of the things that I found out that he was not happy with weren't necessarily sin in my sight at all. But he was not happy because they had the wrong place in my life. And I had to confess them because they were, well, just had the wrong place. My priorities were mixed up, and every once in a while, when I opened my heart to the Lord and say, now, Lord, show me this morning anything you're not happy with, some priority has slipped. Something has maneuvered in there and taken precedence over the things that God knows are best for me. And those are the things that are responsible for maybe a frustration that's begun to creep into my life. So at this time, I find in the morning it's so good not to just think of confession in terms of sin, but freeing him to show me anything that he's not happy about. Now, I think it would be very good if you took just a few minutes and you let him do that very thing right now. Let him show you anything that he's not happy with. Well, don't you want to make him happy? Don't you want to fulfill his purpose for designing you in the first place? Isn't that the desire that you really have down there? Well, maybe you've done this before, but that's all right. Let's do it again. Some of you might not have had the opportunity to pray those three prayers. Some of you might not have had the opportunity to ask the Lord to show you what he saw. Now, I don't want you to miss the opportunity. And when you get home, listen, this is so important. I kid you not, it doesn't matter how good your resolution is, I'm going to do that soon when I have time. Honey, there just ain't going to be a convenient time. So I'm just going to give you a convenient time right now. So you won't miss out on this chance to give him that opportunity to show you what he sees. And if there's anything he's not happy with, just agree with him. Don't argue with him, and don't try to justify it, and don't make excuses. That's a waste of your time, because he's not going to lift his finger till you deal, till you go ahead and agree with him. That's just what it is. It's S-I-N. And he wants you to experience freedom in that thing, freedom in that area. And he knows that you're not going to be happy until you let him get rid of that trash, cleanse the stain away, and then fill it with his self, that area of your life, fill it with his spirit, his attitude, his response to that very thing that's been eating and gnawing and aggravating you and causing you frustration. Right now, let's see what time is it. 10:30. Something real important I want to share with you about confession. If the devil cannot keep us from being honest, he'll run us in the other ditch if we're not. There is all the difference in the world in being introspective. You digging around and looking under everything in your life and in your heart. Making sure that everything's all right. That's not what we're talking about. When you think of confessing the things in your life that are not wrong, you remember that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind, to make you aware of these things. Do not sit around, become introspective. Depression is not of the Lord. When you have a big spirit, a cloud of gloom holding over you, a spirit of gloom that seems to be over you and envelop you and make you feel what a rotter you are and how terrible, and you just feel under condemnation, that's not the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's not the way He works at all. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, He says, "Hey, Johnny, you reacted resentfully. You were resentful yesterday." He is very specific for that apprehension that's got hold of you is fear. He's very specific. Do not sit around and introspection, trying to make sure that everything is A-okay. I know one of the hardest things for me to ever accept was that I could accept the fact that the Lord had cleansed and filled me, and I'd think, well, I'm not perfect yet. I could never say that I was, that the work of conviction's over. I could never accept my righteous condition before the Lord. I mean, after all, who do you think you are? You're not Miss Perfect. Well, see now, the devil drops enough innuendos and twists things just enough to keep us from realizing the joy and the peace that God has provided. So when you ask the Lord to show you, or when he just breaks in and shows you sin in your life, as you're reading the word and he says, hey, that's you, or you hear somebody preach or share, you feel that underlined in your heart, or light thrown in that direction where you'd never even seen it before. All he's doing is not to make you feel condemned. He's showing you so you will confess it. Write the scripture, if you do not know it, under confession. 1 John 1:9. Remember, we said that is for Christians. You agree. Confession simply means agree with God. So you agree with God that that is wrong. You confess it. Then you accept his forgiveness and his cleansing. I'll tell you something else. Don't fall in the trap that I did. And I remember I have at times, until I realized this, wasted so much emotional energy in remorse. I think that I had the idea, well, if I am remorseful enough, that'll convince the Lord how sorry I am. That's just another subtle trick of the evil one. The Lord doesn't want us to be remorseful. He wants us to repent. Don't waste any time wallowing around in your guilt and condemnation. The minute you become aware of it, just admit it. Agree with him. Yes, Lord, that's right. Thank you for showing it to me. Because the reason he showed it to you, he wants you to be free of it. He has come to set us free. Free to be what he designed us for in the first place. Free to function at our maximum potential. And he knows the reason he puts his finger on things in our lives, he knows those are the things that are hindering us. He's not a old meanie. He's love. That's an act of love, because he knows those very things are the things that are hindering us from joy and peace and freedom. So don't either resist his conviction nor wallow in remorse. You see, what he was sharing with me, how important it was. You know, the Lord really does make a lot of sense when you get down to it. It was as if he said, you know, here you are wallowing in remorse, trying to convince me how sorry you are, as if that would make me happy. I'm a lot happier to be able to forgive and cleanse and fill that with my spirit, and you be on your way. You're a more of a credit to me than all this time we're wasting. Okay, so confession is not a in his love, he wants to set us free, and that's what that's all about. Okay, then there's intercession. What is intercession?
Praying
for others. I believe the thing that the Lord wants me to share with you about intercession is just another personal illustration in our family. It was really the way he taught me how to pray, first for my children, and then it's a principle that can be used in praying for anyone. When our daughter Susan, who is now married, was in junior high, That was a new era in our family. Susan, at that time, was, I don't know how to be kind and say what I need to say to describe our situation, because it was just bad. Any way you looked at it, it was bad. I guess one of the best ways to help give you a picture would be let's just see Susan coming in from school one afternoon. At this point in her life, she was in the eighth grade. We had just moved to Titusville. She was very overweight. It was the time of when the girls started wearing their hair straight, long and straight. You know, that was when they put it on the ironing board and iron it, make sure it was straight enough. Well, Susan's hair was just about here. It hadn't made it down yet. She would come in, and her shirt tail would most likely be half hanging out. This hair strung across here. She probably would have her shoes in her hand and all the papers hanging out of her books. Now, I could be the only one in the house, and when she walked in, I could be embarrassed to death. That's right. Well, you see, I took that as a sign of my failure as a mother. And it, you know, I think, well, I've got to help this girl. I've got to train her. I mean, the days are going by, and I sure hadn't done anything so far. And so, as she'd come in the door, I would begin my training. And it would proceed till evening. Well, Susan is a very strong-willed person. And Susan could just tack me up to the wall and leave me hanging there. Wouldn't bother her one bit. Oh, I remember the times I'd pray, oh God, just take that strong will away from Susan. As this situation just simply got worse, I got so disturbed with myself, because you see, she was bringing things out of me I didn't even know I had in me. In my frustration, what to do, I was doing the wrong thing every time. So, I went to God in desperation. Now, Lord, and this is when He taught me how to intercede. There's much more, I'm sure, that I haven't learned, but I can share this, what I have learned, with you. As I went to Him in desperation, Lord, what can I do for Susan? Look at the problem I've got. He said, well, number one, we'll never be able to help Susan until we get some things taken care of in your life. what the first one was. Pride. And there was nothing to do but agree with God that my heart was full of pride. I was embarrassed because people knew that she was my daughter. So I had to agree and confess pride as a sin. And you know something else he showed me? He showed me how self-centered I was in the whole situation. He said, "Johnny, you've got your focus wrong, because I was seeing it as, look what a problem I've got. Susan is my problem. What am I going to do with my problem?" And he showed me that I wasn't the one having a problem. I was relating it to me, but Susan was the one having the problem. And if I could get my focus on her need, was met, I wouldn't have a problem. I had the focus all wrong. He showed me that all these things that I was trying to pick, all these bad fruit that I was trying to pick, were really fruit that had a root. And I was really just wasting my time, because as we got one thing taken care of, there would be something else pop up to deal with. And it was so sweet. He showed me that all these things were really just windows into Susan's heart. And if I'd let him, he'd show me through the window why she was doing what she was doing. Where intercession comes in. And when I began asking God to show me not how to change what she's doing, but why she was doing what she was doing, he was able to show me something that nobody else would have ever been able to show me. There was no way I could have figured it out, because I found out we were dealing with a lie. He showed me that Susan was not convinced that we loved her as much as we loved Richard. And I said, "But Lord, you know that's not true." "Yeah, I know it's not true, and you know it's not true, but as long as Susan thinks it's true, that's the problem. That's what she's dealing with." I didn't know it at the time, but she was having problems at school, too. So, one of her counselors told us maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we were at an awards banquet, and she says, "There's a story I've never told you about Susan when she was in junior high." She said, "One day they brought Susan into me, and I said, 'Susan, if they send you into me one more time, I'm calling your parents.' So the next day I looked up, and there's Susan." See, what I'm saying is, Susan was having the problem. I wasn't having a problem. Was not mine, the problem was hers. But I had it focused in on poor me. Look at all the trouble I'm having. She said the next day, looked up, and there was Susan, and she said, "Susan, you know what I told you." She said, "Oh, Miss Jordan, please don't call home today." She says, "My mother's gone, and my daddy just might kill me." Oh, dear. But the truth is, her mother might have been the one to kill her. But when he showed me that, that was so hard for me to accept. But you see, this is where intercession comes in. I go to God in behalf of my child. He knows her heart. He is able to communicate to me her heart need. Then I know how to trust him to meet and change inside of her heart. Nobody else knew that. Only God. So my prayer then became, well, God, show me today how to begin communicating the love I have in my heart to Susan. Well, day after day, during times of talking with him, he would put little thoughts in my mind. And I learned that was his way of answering my prayer. When I would do those things that he put in my mind to do, at first they were all different. There were things I'd have never done. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. I didn't know it was the Lord at first. I had to get tuned in. Then one day the Lord says, well, if you're going to do what you've always been doing, it hadn't worked. You don't think I'm going to lead you to do that, do you? You said, yeah, I mean, naturally what he led me to do was something I hadn't been doing. Because what I'd been doing didn't work. So what it really means when we get serious in praying for someone else, it usually cost us something. And buddy, it sure did cost me. Because he just completely upset my schedule. At that point in time, she'd just gotten into junior high. All through elementary school, the program was, while they were gone and away at school, I'd do all the shopping, I'd do any baking that needed to be done, anything messy, get it all finished before the kids came in. The Lord showed me that if I was ever going to convince Susan that I loved her and enjoyed being with her, that one of the ways to do this was to include her in some of the shopping trips, in some of the cooking, and things that were just easier to do without her. But you see, she knew too that they were easier to do without her. And so that was a part of communicating to her that I really did love her and I really did want her with me. Because she could see that it was more trouble, you know. It was just obvious. And it didn't happen just like that. But over a period of time, as I interceded, God gave me the way for his prayer, for my prayer to be answered. He began developing a bond between the two of us that was so precious. During her high school years, we cried together about a lot of the dates she didn't get for those special times. But you see, what happened was, after God was able to get Mother taken care of, and I was beginning to know what to trust him for in Susan's life, she just happened to go away to a retreat one weekend. And at that retreat, the last one to turn loose and give in to the Lord just happened to be Susan. And you know that strong will? I had asked God to take away from him. Sometime in this time, he'd said to me one day, "Why do you want me to take it away from her? I'm the one that gave it to her in the first place. You just trust me to convert it into what I put it in her for." So that's what I had done. Under his instructions, trusted him